We're at the perek, eighth perek of Mishlei, and really, what it is basically an extended speech by Chochmah. Had this image of Chochmah trying to tell everybody, "Listen to me! Don't listen to all those other strange women." She's outside yelling at everybody, and here's really like 30 psukim of her words. She starts out, "Halo Chochmah tikra," does not. Wisdom call out to not titen kola, understanding sends forth its voice. Rosh meromim alei derech, top of the hills, onto the roads. Beit nitivot, where the roads come together, the crossroads. Nitzavah, she's standing on the crossroads. Yad sharim lefi karat, at the gates, at the entrances to cities. Mavop dachim Verona, and door in the doorways, she's calling out. Chochmah just wants somebody to listen. And Mishlei goes back and forth between this image of just listen to Chochmah, listen to wisdom, and the actual words of wisdom that you're supposed to learn. We've seen this image before. The first perek pretty early starts out with this image of Chochmot b'chutz tarana. Wisdom calls out outside, Brachavot titen kola, sends forth her voice in the roads. Barosh hamiyot tikra, calls out in the head in front of the crowds. At the gates of the city, Mareha Tomar, she says her words. But this one is not, that was just a couple of psukim. This is a much longer speech about learning Chachma, what, and that's in the sense of the wisdom of the proper behavior. We call Aristotle's term phronesis. That was a vocabulary word that extends through all of this. That is the wisdom of knowing what to do, not end up knowing stuff, not doing really well in the trivia contest. But the wisdom of ethics and learning it from the Torah, from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's where you learn, not from other cultures. Because the last parak was about the danger of learning from other cultures, and it had the same kind of image. And that this Chacham is L'shem Zarah, be guard on guard against strange women. Again, this, all these different kinds of wisdom are all in the image of women. That's Shlomo's kind of focus, his point of view. Minachriya. Amara hachalika, from the foreign woman whose words are so smooth. Pam bachutz, she's sometimes outside. Pam rachavot, sometimes on the streets. It's a kolpinata, a rave, lying in wait at every corner. The idea is that there's a shuk. There's a marketplace of ideas. There are lots of things out there. Everyone's calling out, hawking their intellectual wares, and inviting their listeners home. So this parak talks about how it's possible to learn all those things from a Torah-focused perspective. And that's Shlomo's approach. And it starts with this idea of Barosh Meramim Alei Derech at the heights and on the at the top of the hills, at top of the heights and on the roads. And the Gemara says about that, Ketiv Barosh Meramim, it says at the heights, Ketiv Alei Derech, and it says on the roads as well. And it makes a cryptic comic of Batchila Barosh Meramim, beginning at the heights. So you can learn wisdom from Washington Heights. Derek at the end on the roads. And then Marsha says it's how you learn things. Nirala Farish, to explain the Gemara, Akhalinian Koshi Halimud Ba'ayun. Talking about how hard it is to learn and to study. That when you start, it's hard. It's like if it's on top of the tallest mountains, it's Rosh Meromim. Like Yeshem, I can't get there. Basof, but eventually it's alei derech, it's on the road, it's on the path you've already started. Karov ligel umkomo, is close to where you are. She alei derech, she ilech adam ba, the way you're going. That learning starts out hard. It seems hard, because it is hard. But it's easier as you work at it. That's our lesson. And then the audience for Chachma here is more selective than everybody. The next pasuk says, these are her words, Alechem ishim ekra. I call out to you, you Ishim. And it's an interesting word. It's not Anashim, the plural of Ish, not the usual one. Time to look at that. The Koli al Bnei Adam, and my voice goes out to all people. Avinu Ptaim Orma, you fools and you naive fools should understand some cleverness.
Isn't
And
that petzaim? Does that mean like seductive, that it's attractive to you?
is that him? Ever
Yeah.
ask me about that word? It's one of the words in Mishlei for a fool. It means someone who's naive. And you're right, it comes from this the root of peti, of seduced, but someone who is easily seduced. Someone who will
Okay.
believe everything. We'll look at that in a moment. Right?
Okay.
Someone who will accept everything. But the aim is about this, the person is easily mufuta. And Kasil is another kind of fool. With that, Habina Levi, you have to pay attention. So the apostrophe, the address directly is to Ishim, these Ish, those with a title Ish. It's not just Anashim, it's not just men, it's so who have an Ish. And this distinction between Ish and Ben Adam comes up elsewhere in Tanakh. We have it in Mizmor LaKorach and Tehillim Perek Mem Tet. And he says, Shimuzo Kol Amim, Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Cheled, listen, all nations, pay attention, all inhabitants of the mortal earth. Gam b'nei Adam, gam b'nei Ish. You ben Adam and you Ish. Yachar Ashir ve'Evyon, explaining what he means, both the rich and the poor. Pi yedaber chachmot, and the other Tehillim, but the same idea that I'm speaking wisdom, hagot libi tibunot, I'm thinking by understanding. And this idea of ben Adam is as a human being, an ordinary person, everybody. Mitzvah David explaining where Yechezkel is always called. In his Nevuah, he's always called Ben Adam. Kro Ben Adam, he's called a Ben Adam specifically. Kadesh Yitka asked, he's not so proud of himself. The Navi is called a Ben Adam. Yachshov Asmok Echad, he's not as important as the angels. Bisha Raha Mara Hagadola Azok, because he saw this great vision. No, Ben Adam are ordinary people, as opposed to Ish, it's called Anashim, Shemikra Lashon Chashivut. Important people are called Ish. So she's telling the Ishim, you need to listen to me.
Danny, I was going to say the first time you see that, or I don't know if it was the very first time, but when Yaakov sends Yosef to look for his brother, and he sees an Ish, and I forget where it was, which town it was,
On the
but
way to
he
Shechem.
attacks him. What?
Yeah, on the way to Shechem.
But wasn't he referred to as an Ish?
Yes, yeah, he was called an Ish there. Yeah, you got right. Get the, I mean, yeah, I mean. Meir says actually it was a malach there, something important. But when he
Yeah.
talks about appointing the meraglim, they're called kulam anashim. They're all anashim. Those meant people of stature. Obviously, they were people, but they're people of stature. That's the ish there.
Okay.
Okay, and that the two things that Ibn Ezra is similarly translating is b'nei adam she'en lehem ma'ala. Ben adam is someone who has no special characteristics. In Greek, it's the hoi polloi. Right, Hoi, meaning ordinary people, the people. So, Yishlehem, Shehem Noadim, they're those who are well known, they have something, that's an Ish there. So, she's addressing the Ish, the important people, the smart people. And those are the ones she's calling are the Pita'im, the naive, and the Kasilim, the fools. And we talked about that, like I said. That he, specifically, Shlomo translates the peti is yamin l'chol davar. The Yim is someone who believes everything. They're easily swayed, and they're supposed to learn Orma. That's what she's trying to teach here, is Orma, which usually means cleverness, and Tanakh is just a bad thing, like the Nachash Ha'Arum, right? The snake in Bereishit is Arum, not a good thing, but.
Modern Hebrew, it sort of means tricky, like it's.
Yes, that's the usual meaning of it. So the fact that it's a positive thing in Mishlei is unusual. And we talked about this in the first paragraph. This was something that someone named, I don't know, Lisa Baranowski, I found that, said that Orma, if it's get together with wisdom, Chachma plus Orma is foresight. That's positive. Lack of wisdom plus Orma is cunning, tricky. Not a good thing. So you're petty, person who believes simply, that's not a bad thing. It's good to Emunah to believe, but you need to have some sophistication there. You need to have some more. And the Kasil, again, these Ishim, these important people, these smart people are called Kasilim, which is usually a word for fool, but in Mishlei it's used more for being self-assured. Not listening to criticism. I know the right answer. It's from the root of Kesel, which means having faith or being secure. And this is examples of that about from Tehillim, Yasimu Belokim Kislam. They put their trust in God. Or later in Mishlei, or earlier Mishlei, rather than Gimel, ki Hashem yeh bekislecha. God will be your source of faith. But a ksilo is someone who has faith in themselves. They're self-confident. I know what I want to do, so it must be the right thing to do. Anything indicates the contrary is simply wrong. And he's saying that's a danger in being one of the Ishiyim. Really important people, you think you're smart because you're separate from Bnei Adam, and you're always talking to other smart people. So obviously, everything you say is right. That's an echo chamber. And it makes you petit et exil. You'll believe anything. Not anything, but anything that comes from within your little group of smart people that you're always talking to, you'll believe that. And Castile, you're confident in your own stuff.
But Danny, we could all be a little bit guilty of that now.
Oh, yeah. Mishlei's not, yes, Mishlei's definitely talking to you. And me too, obviously. I don't know about you. You're obviously always willing to listen to
I
criticism.
mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we have our weekly schmoozes and learning sessions. You know what I mean? And we're like on the same page, so to speak, because
Yes.
we're learning together.
That's a danger. So Scott, like I've quoted Scott Alexander before. He's a psychiatrist who has a blog, a lot of different interesting essays. And he calls the group of that, where all these smart people are all talking to each other, he calls that a priesthood. They make declarations, everyone else is supposed to just follow. He's talking about how do I make sure I get the good ideas? If I listen to everybody, I'm not going to learn everything. I'm not going to learn anything because most of the people have really bad ideas. If I just sit there and just listen to Twitter all the time, I'll never do anything. But if it's just for myself, I'm not gonna get any feedback at all. He says, "What about discussing ideas in a group made of only the most intelligent and knowledgeable people? This gives you the debate and collaboration functions that you only get in group conversation. The better signal to noise ratio. It is a lot more signal, a lot more useful information, and a lot less random stuff than all of society." If you're just talking to everybody, it might be small enough to manage. Also, you can make people sign on to good discussion norms before they enter, and you can expel them if they screw up. And you kick anybody out who's just causing trouble, who's insulting. From this formulation, it comes clear that such a priesthood is only useful insofar as it has some kind of barrier between itself and the general public. This is just us talking. Priesthoods don't exactly hate the public, but they hate the idea of letting the public's ideas mix with their own. It's not just to discount the public's ideas insofar as the public is less sophisticated than themselves. The whole identity comes from their separation from the public. Right? I'm smarter than everybody else. Ideas that seem too similar to the public's get actively penalized. Same way, it would be hard to convince Democrats to accept a plan that Donald Trump proposed first, even if otherwise fit with Democratic ideals. Now, I'm not going to say anything about contemporary politics, but he can. Again, and so priesthoods are good for having good ideas, perfecting good ideas, discussing good ideas, but anytime a bad idea gets in, it becomes a good idea just by being espoused by the priesthood. You can never get rid of it, right? You can't contradict it. And so Alexander here calls it a mimetic plague, which I love that term. Mimetic, like a meme. Something that a thought that goes between people, and it's a plague, it's like a virus. It just sits there and stays and infects one person after the next. Priests draw from a certain type of person. Usually upper class, well-educated, successful, not too successful, prone to and good at abstract thought. Then they isolate many examples of this type of person in a community designed to have dense connections within itself and thin to non-existent connections with the rest of the world. This ends up the same way as any other monoculture. It gives a geek example. Aurochs in the wilderness probably got diseases only rarely. Aurochs are the ancient cows in Europe, or the ancestors of modern cows. So wild animals don't get diseases because they're all different. They all have different genes. They don't live closely packed together. So diseases don't get a chance to spread. But cram 10,000 genetically near identical cows in a tiny warehouse, and your beef ends up at 95% antibiotics by weight. Full exaggeration. But diseases spread really fast in factory farms. They're all the same. virus that infects one infects all the rest. In the same way, priesthoods are a perfect environment for mimetic plagues. So you've got to be able to say no, get some ideas from the outside, and maybe I'm wrong. So Chachma is talking to the Yishim. Realize that you are a Peti. You believe anything that's coming from within your group, and a Kasil that you're too sure of yourself to be corrected. So Mishlei continues, Shimu ki negidim adaber. Listen, because princes I speak. See what that means. When I open my mouth, it is for things that are straight for that are right. And this Shimu ki negidim adaber might mean listen because I speak to princes. That's what Gra's first interpretation. Because I'm speaking to important people, right? I know you're important. If you're talking to the prince, the minister, you don't say anything superfluous. Everything you say has meaning. That's what I'm saying. Listen, because I'm speaking as though I'm speaking to princes. But I think a better translation is saying, I'm speaking princes. My words are princes. My words are the rulers. The true Nidim are not these Yishim, these important people, but the words of Torah. And that's the Gra's second interpretation. O Knidigim Adaber, Kol Divarai Hem Sarim Digim, Lachen Shimu Kol Divarai. Every one of my words is like a king. Take it seriously. Take your rulership from there, not from your own little intellectual priesthood. And the Gemara takes that idea and expands it with another image. Gemara Shabbos. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa, Mai Ditziv Shimu Ki Negidim Adaber. What does it mean when the pasuk in Mishlei says, "Listen, Ki Negidim Adaber," because I'm speaking, literally speaking, princes. Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah Kenagid. Why are the words of Torah compared to a Nagid, prince? Amar, I tell you. That just like the rulers have the power to put to death and to keep alive, so Torah has the power of life and death. And Rava, and this is what Rava means when he says, those on the right side, those who listen to the word of Torah is an elixir of life. If those on the left side, those are doing it wrong, it's a deadly poison. Another way of looking at these nigidim, that the words of Torah are like rulers. Every word that Hashem said has two crowns tied onto it, wearing two different crowns. We know that image of the two crowns. We usually associate that with the Mamad Har Sinai. And we're familiar with this, Darash Rabbi Simai. Rishashik, Dimu Yisrael, Nasa L'Nishma. Yisrael said, Nasa L'Nishma, Bo Shishim Ribui Shel Malachi 600,000 angels came down. Kol Echad V'Echad Yisrael, Kashru Gave each person in Bnei Yisrael these two crowns, Echad Keneged Naaseh, Echad Keneged Nishma. One for Nasa, one for Nishma. You got two crowns. That was for the Jews. But here in this Gemara, he's saying that the words of Torah themselves have crowns. And of course, that's literally true, right? If you look at the text over here, you're looking at Torah, the letters all have little crowns on top of
Yeah.
them. And we've seen that. Okay? Which, of course, evokes the famous Haggadah about those crowns. The idea that the letters themselves have crowns on them. That's what the Gemara is saying is what's going on in here. Famous Agada about Moshe and Rabbi Akiva, Marav Yehuda Marav, B'shasha Allah Moshe Lamarom, when Moshe went up to heaven to get the Torah. Matzo'o L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shiyoshev, he found Hashem sitting there, B'kosher K'tarim L'otiyot, putting crowns on all the letters. Amar L'fanav, Ribono Sh'olam, Mima Kevel Yadcha, and he asked God, who's forcing your hand? Let's first put those crowns on there. Amar lo, and Hashem says, Adam echad yesh atid liyot. Basov Kama Dorot. There's someone coming after many generations. Akiva ben Yosef Shemo. Rabbi Akiva. Akiva ben Yosef. Chatid Lidrosh al Kol Kotz Vakotz, who's going to make drashot. He's going to analyze every single point. Talin v'talin shel halachot, piles and piles of halachot. Usual way of understanding that somehow you can darshan out the crowd. You can see them and make the distinction. And this is Dr. Yaakov Ellman. Alav Shalom, head of the YU Department of Talmud, talks about this in terms of omnisignificance. Every word, every letter, every quotes, every point in Torah has some significance. But it describes an ideal which was never fully realized. Not every feature of scripture has been interpreted either halakhically or gadically. Well-known Talmudic passage in Menachot, which describes the scene in heaven, poignantly describes the dilemma. Inquiring as the purpose of the crowds, Moshe is informed that many generations hence, Rabbi Akiva would derive piles and piles of halakhot from each crown. We may ask in the spirit of the story, where are those piles and piles of halakhot expounded from the crowds of letters? The very locus classicus, central point of omnisignificance, points either to its loss or its lack. We don't have it. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein explains, answering this question, right? If Rabbi Akiva is darshaning all the kol kotz v'kotz, where do we see that? He's saying we're misinterpreting that entirely. The Ketarim are on the letters. They're not the source of the halacha. You can't say, okay, this letter has a keter, therefore I would say this, because those are the every let of every aleph has the same keter, every shin has the same keter. The drashot are from the letters themselves. And we see that all the time in Rabbi Akiva. You know, it's got a vav here, it doesn't say that, it doesn't, it's written chaser here, we're going to darshan that out. And that the crowns on there is that are things that Hashem's attaching to symbolize their importance. These letters are nagidim, they are rulers. So when the Gemara reads it as saying that Hashem is kosher k'tarim, putting crowns on them, but it doesn't say that Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan the crown, it says, Darshan called quotes for quotes. We'll darshan every little point. So this is Moshe Feinstein trying to understand this Gemara. I think it's very important. Zibiyarti, Mashita b'Menachot. This is the Gemara Menachot. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rab. B'shasha Allah Moshe l'Amar Rom. When Moshe went up to heaven, Matzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyoshev Kosher K'tarim L'Otiyot, found that Hashem attaching crowns to the letters. Who's forcing your hand? There's a future Rabbi Akiva. You know, there are nidros called kotz v'kotz. We will make these drashot on every point. Talin v'talin shel halachot, piles of halachot. And so we don't understand anything. That we don't understand what that's talking about. What are these crowns? Another point. Shelat Moshe Mima Akev. When it's reading Moshe's question as Mima Akev, who's forcing you? Or who's holding you back? What do you mean? Where do we see that Hashem is being forced to do this? Why is Moshe asking that? Why not? Why are you putting crowns on them? But why are you forced? Alafima, but according to what I explained, Ktarin. That's what the language of Keter, of a crown is. Hashem is by putting crowns on the letters, Hashem is making the words, the letters of the Torah into kings, rulers. The authority comes from the words of the Torah. That if you're a chacham trying to make decisions, you look at each word, you compare the language from one place to another, yifso and you'll And you could pass and you can decide the halacha according to his own understanding. Tam otiyot Torah, according to the way where the Torah is written. Af she'af shar, shalom, even though you may be wrong. People may be wrong. That's the story of lo b'shamayim hi. We don't ask God what he meant. We look at what's written and we derive it from there. The authority comes from the Torah. Lo yada'at. Maybe Hashem would, you know, if we actually had a Navi to ask God, what do you mean by this? Would it come up with a different answer? That's not how it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not tap et HaTorah Yisrael. Hashem basically put those crowns on the words of the Torah, and gave the authority to Israel. She asked if we she avinu at the we do how we understand what's written, but Hamusar Baal Peh and the tradition that's come, Baal Peh mi Sinai, that's come, the Torah Baal Peh that's come from Sinai, could be have the fiyavaratam. According to their understanding, according to human understanding. Torah, and God is not going to come and explain anymore. He's not going to make any more decisions. Shalom. Right? We know the story of Tanur Shalafnai. But he's preemptively saying, no, we're going to agree with the Chachmei Torah, human beings aside. And that's the key. Words of the Torah are the malachim, are the kings. That's what the crowns are. Do the way we understand it, the way we're reading it, even if that isn't necessarily what Hashem meant. That's what Moshe means when he asks God, what's forcing your hand? Right? Moshe's asking, why are we giving up your own power for these letters? Maybe they're going to do, human beings are going to do what you didn't intend. Hashem answers, Yakiva, I'm giving the power to people like Rabbi Akiva to learn now. These talim, piles and piles of halachot. They're going to increase Torah by learning more, the little that's written down. And there's no end to how much detail we could add to that. Shatorah he below kits. The Torah is not. Hashem, as it were, is putting his own crown onto the letters of the Torah. And that's what Mishlei means by Nigidima Daber. Chachma is saying, what I'm speaking are the ultimate rules. God has given the power into my hand and the interpreters of Torah. That's the power that Chacham is claiming here. And then it goes on to say that, well, you know, the smart people are ksilim, they're not going to understand the truth. They need to listen to my voice. And the wealthy are too, because they are blind to what's important. That what my words are more important than money. And so Mishlei continues, ki emet yegechi ki, because my mouth speaks truth, tovat svatai resha, and my lips hate evil. B'tzedek kol emrei fi, everything I say is righteous. Ein bahem niftal v'kesh, nothing twisted, nothing warped in what I say. G'lom nochachim l'mevin, they're all correct to those who understand it. V'yisharim l'motzei dat, and they're right for those who seek truth. Chumash rivel kesef, you should take my discipline and not money. And knowledge, understanding is greater than choice gold. Because wisdom is greater than pearls, and anything else you would want is not equal to it. So value wisdom. So I always quote, you know, everyone knows the quote of Lord Acton about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Mishlei's message here is that power makes gullible. And absolute power makes absolutely gullible. And the only way to avoid Alexander's the mimetic plague of a kind of this echo chamber where bad ideas just get become more and more ingrained is to learn Chachma from the Torah. So Mishlei continues, Ani Chachma, I, wisdom. Shachanti Arma. My dwelling is the Arma that you need to learn, that little bit of cleverness that's going to pull you out from being a pethi, from being naive. Vedat mizimot and the knowledge of planning, I find it. Yirat Hashem sinatra. And the key point that makes it different from all the other ethical systems out there in the intellectual shuk is Yirat Hashem, fear of God. That's what keeps you humble. Hate evil, ga'ev, ga'on, pride and pridefulness. What to see what those mean. The derech ra, the wrong way, b'pi and a lying mouth, seneti. I hate all those things. V'etzot, I am the source of wisdom. I am the source of tushia, we translate it as knowledge of how the world works. Ani bina, I am understanding. Li gevura, I have power. And this Yirat Hashem is what leads not just to avoiding the bad, which is a derech ra, but also this ge'av ga'on. Pride and pridefulness, I'm translating that. Let's see how he translates ge'av. That's pasuk yud gimel. JPS as pride and arrogance. Not sure if those are different in any way. So the Malbim says, you know what the difference is? That Ye'ah is being pride, is having pride, being arrogant. Ga'on is the things you're proud about. And that's the way he explains it. A gavahu rak be'etzem hamitga'eh. Gav is a feeling within the person who is in fact proud. Shem nasei that feels they're very important. A ga'on hu chutz le'etzem hamitga'eh. Ga'on refers to things that are outside of you. It's those qualities that make you proud. Ma'osha, like wealth, gura, strength, chachma, wisdom, great wisdom, the things that you're proud about. So there's nothing wrong with ga'on, but you can't be ga'eh. Agamshe ga'onam shu tokfam v'oshram. That the truth is that they're ga'on, the way he's translating that. They're the qualities that they're that's worth being proud. Be proud of, like strength and wealth. Eino sanui b'nei Hashem. God doesn't hate that. Achar shelo hezidu v'lochatu. As long as you don't sin, you're not too arrogant. Kol makom achar shegavatam sheitgu b'rucham. Once you become too proud of it, then who sanei b'nei Hashem? That's then God hates it. So that's the problem. The gaon is not a problem. Things that you're proud of, your wisdom, wealth, all that's fine. Remember, it's a gift. Hashem gave it to you, and what the key is to realize that you need this chachma to give you this gevura, which we know gevura is a gibur, is a kovesha yisro, holding back your own inclinations. So keep the chachma in mind, then you don't have to worry about the gava, and you can go on being your nagid, the ish. You can be an important person. So Mishlei continues, be melachim yimlochu, that kings will rule through me. Again, this is the voice of Chachma speaking. Roznim, which are Hem Sarei, advisors, Yichak with Tzedek, will make good rules. Bisharim Yasuru, that ministers will minister through me. Unedivim Kol Shoftei Tzedek, and the donors, the rich oligarchs, as it were, will rule in ju with justice. As long as they do through B, as long as they have Chachma there. And as kind of what you point, it doesn't apply just to literal kings or important people, that we all have some sense of authority, and we all need this Chachma to be Shoftei Tzedek. That applies, this really applies to all of us. So then Shlomo concludes this section of the parak, the first half of the parak, talking about the reviewing the rewards of learning. Ani avay, I love those who love me, says Chachma. And those who seek me out will certainly find me. Osher kavoditi, wealth and status are with me. Hon atik ve'usaka, ancient wealth and justice, they're all through Chachma. Tov purim yecharutz mipaz, my fruits are greater than gold and fine gold. Tevuotai mikesef nifkar, my produce is greater than choice silver. My path where I go is the way of justice. Mishpat, I guess ways of tzedek, of righteousness, and I go in the paths of justice. Follow me. Ohavayesh, I will bring those who love me an inheritance of yesh, of all that is. Everything that exists goes right to him. I will fill their storehouses. And he starts this section saying, Ani ohavai ahev. And this is Art Scroll's insight about that, that I love those who love me. Because how do you get Chachma? Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten Chachma ela mi sheyesh bo Chachma. That Hashem will give Chachma, wisdom, if only if someone already has it. It's a vicious circle, right? Those who are wise become wiser. If you don't have any wisdom, you can't learn anything more. Where do you start? And the Pasuk Daniel says, Yehev chachmata l'chachmim. God gives wisdom to those who are wise, mindana li'yadei bina, and understanding to those who have understanding. So Art Scroll says in this, since wisdom is granted by God, how does one initially attain it in order to qualify for the further blessing of even more wisdom? Vilna Gaon says this, our Pasuk, that a person merits the heavenly blessing of wisdom by exhibiting a love for it. You want it. Ani ohavai ahev. You love wisdom, that Hashem will give it to you. Realize your gifts are God-given. Your wisdom is God-given. Don't take it for granted. You need to work for it. We started this parak from our Shah's observation about Tichlat HaLimud HaKasheh. That's hard to start. Very hard to start to learn, but the act of trying brings Hashem's help. That's what Mishlei is reassuring you. Basof karo liyagel kamo, and then in the end, it becomes easier. And the last pasuk here, Anchil Ohavayesh, is quoted in the last Mishnah of all of Shas. It's a very strange word. I leave to my those who love me an inheritance of yesh, of having. I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. Atira Kash Barhu Hanchilach Tzadik Bitzadik. In the future, God will give to every tzaddik Shlosh me out vasara amalam, 310 word worlds. Shneamra Lahanchil Ohavayesh. And he's reading that Ohava this Yesh here as being gematria, 310. So every tzaddik will get Yesh, will get 310 olamot worlds. And everyone tries to figure out that what in the world does 310 mean? Lots of answers there. Well, it's most of 613 plus 7 Mitzvot Rabbanan is 620. Divide that by 2, you get 310. Yeah, it could be. There's an interesting one about Tosafot Yom Tov makes the point, reference to Mashiach, when we're going to, the Tzaddik will inherit the world. We might say Yom HaBakan. Gam came mispar yesh, right? This is the idea of the number of yesh of 310. Everyone gets 310. Tarek Shanachalu Aretz Kibshu Lamed Aleph Lachim. Bnei Yisrael conquered Canaan. There were 31 kings. We're going to say for Yeshua, list them. So in Latid, Yechavshu Mispar, Asara Pamim Lamed Aleph. So in the future, we get 10 times, lots more. What's 10 times 31? Who missed by Yesh? That's 310. So just like Bnei Yisrael conquered just this little land of Canaan, it will conquer the whole world. But it seems says that, don't overread it, right? 310 doesn't have inherent its own importance. It's symbolic because it's gematria of Yesh, of everything that is, all the parts that go into creation. That's what the Ohav HaYesh means. But Hashem is going to give the tzaddikim, an understanding of all the various subjects, all the various sciences, all the various ways of knowing that go into all of creation. This is from Herschel Schachter's Hesped for Abelsky, who was the head of the OU. His Nitziv, an introduction to Hamek Shela, explains that the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi refers to his 310 areas of technical expertise, which are necessary for a landmark Talmud Chacham to master in order to adjudicate the myriad areas of halacha. Not there are exactly 310 different sciences, different academic pursuits, but the word yesh is gematria is 310. That's, we take that as symbolic. And how is it possible for one to spend their days and nights engrossed in learning Torah at the same time master all the sciences that are necessary to apply the rulings of Torah to a physical world? He explains that the Holy One, blessed be He, will give these bodies of knowledge to the tzaddik as an inheritance. that Mishlei is promising that if stick with this path of Torah, we'll be able to learn everything. Without the necessity of Torah, acquire them as a gift. Still to, I think it still have to work. It still be, I don't know about the without the necessity of toil, it still have to work. As we said, we're not, you can stay within the yeshiva, learn what's necessary without, I say, going to the houses of all these foreign wisdoms that Mishlei is warning us against. The way the Maharal put it, that Divrei Chochma ain't asur. That wisdom, no matter where it's from, are clearly not forbidden. Ki chachma zot, hi kamo sulama lot ba el chachma tatara. That all other chachma is like a ladder for go to achieving the wisdom of Torah. Mizel nilmad, ki kol davar. So anything that helps understand the world, yish la adam la mod, you should learn umachuya, and you have to learn it. All these other fields, which we're saying are symbolized by the Yesh, by the 310. Yekolmas Hashem's all God's creation. Yesh lumod alehem. You need to learn these like kiyah yedezeh baro and recognize Hashem's hand in everything. Okay, so you need to know the all shlosh meot vasarot olamot. You need to understand all these other academic fields, all the wisdom, all the science, the knowledge of the. You can't be seduced by those other sources of wisdom. You have to stay within the palace of Torah. That's what Mishlei is saying. We had the problem before is what if, all the secular universities aren't studying it, then we're stuck. But the promise here, don't despair the contradiction. And if you seek it out, you will find it. I'm sure. Keep learning. And I will conclude with the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. Lo alecha amlacha gemor. You don't have to finish all the work. Lo ata ben charin lihivah mena, but you can't stop working. That talks about learning chachma, continuing to learn, continue to work at it. And Hashem says, okay, if you keep working at it, you will get the gift of understanding it. And I will stop here.